My brothers and sisters, let us begin this session. It is now 2:45, and we have lots to talk about. So let's begin. Let's begin our session in talking about best practices for our Hope venue. We're having such a good time. Are you having a great time? All right, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Say it again, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, a strong tower. The righteous run. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Say it again. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Can I see everybody clap their hands? Here we go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it loud. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. And worship the Lord. Praise his name. He is worthy. Hallelujah. All right, so we're getting into worship songs and transitions. Best practices for the Hope venue. Let me just say this about what hope is. We've been discussing this, my husband and I, talking about what is hope. Now, in the definition of what is hope, in the Webster's Dictionary, it says something like this, if I could find it real quick. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire that it's going to come and that it's certain to happen. But when we think about the Hope Avenue and where we are in the biblical sense, in a spiritual sense, hope is the confidence in God's promise and that that he is strong and he is faithful to do what he said he's going to do. So when we come together in our Hope Avenue, in our Hope venue, we want our songs to reflect that hope, and so that everybody leaves out of there confident in God's promises and expecting that he is going to faithfully manifest what he said he is going to do. So let's talk a little bit about the songs and the style and transition and prayer and all of those things. So let's see, are we doing this? No? Okay, that's not on the slides, right? Okay, so it's in your brochure. It's called Worship Songs and Transition. I think that's what it's called. Yes, am I correct? That's what it is? Okay, so that's what we're doing, all right. Okay, so let me get back to where we're doing it. Okay, worship songs. What should I look for in the content of a worship song? What should we look for? Worship songs, that they are scripturally sound. Okay? They're correct and in context. Because we could be singing a song that don't got nothing to do with nothing to do. That's the only way that I could say it. the songs, the words, the lyrics that we're singing, making sure that they are scripturally sound. Check it, worship leaders. Just go to your reference, Bible Gateway or whatever, and just check it. Is it the truth? Does it line up with what is talked about? If Paul is talking about it, if David is talking about it, what was the reference? How do you refer to today? Yeah, you got to dig a little bit with these lyrics, especially today. The songs, the content is it repetition? Is it good for repeating? Because, you know, we as human beings, we forget. So if I sing a song to you, a new song to you this week, and I don't sing it the next couple of weeks, and I come back and sing it, oh, y'all should have known it. I sang it 4 weeks ago. They're like, what? So you're singing a new song all the time. I mean, the Bible does say sing a new song, but he wants the song to go inside. And he wants us to worship and recall the truths of God, recall his promises. So when we're choosing our songs, we're choosing the songs that are repetitious and that are catchy. My mother has been gone almost 14 years, and she was the one who introduced me to the Praise and Worship Conference I told you about. It's called ASAF. It's an acronym. It means Always Sanctified, Always Praising Him. And it was a conference for worship leaders. And the thing that they said, and what she told me too, is that it takes about five times in a row for a person to catch maybe the first two lines of a song. Five times you have to sing it. Five times in a row. After a week, they don't remember it, not unless, you know, you're talking to them all week about it. But it takes five times to kind of learn a song. And if it's repetitious, just like we were singing, Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 And then? Oh, see, y'all didn't even catch it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's the repetition. And not be afraid of it. Now, there's a song that we sing, and sometimes it can get so monotonous to the point it's like, oh, one more time, we're going to sing this verse. But it's up to the praise and worship leader to engage and point to who? Jesus. And refer to those things and making that song where it's going in and not just going straight over the head. The style of this song, and I'm breaking this apart in the song selection, the style, we talked about doing a blended service or doing services that are kind of sectioned, you know, and this is a gospel, and this is a rock, and this is all hymns, and this is traditional. If we blend them, that means that we're kind of touching the surface of everybody in the room. And also, when we go into the community, how many of us have considered what demographics our community is? You have Hispanics, you have Native Americans, you have Jamaicans, you have Haitians, you've got Texans living in Florida, you've got Arkansas living in California. These different, I mean, some people like straight up country. Okay, I don't like country. But let me tell you something. I will sing a country song. And get in there, you know why? It's about worship. And who are we worshiping? So we take the styles and we blend them. I think that is the most, the best practice of being able to touch all walks of life is to have a blended service. The style should fit the service. Energetic, moving, and enjoyable. Now, Pastor Dwight was saying about some worship leaders saying that they're not as energetic as this one, and that means that maybe they don't have, you know, they're not as good as. No, it's about who we're worshiping. Now point it back, who are we worshiping? I could stand here, and I don't think, Michelle Fleming, your dad said something, and I don't think he would mind me saying this. He just stands there, and he worships like this. The music could be, and Mr. Fleming is like this. Okay, and he said, this is how he is, because he is totally open, and he said all of his skin, everything is just being, he's absorbing the whole thing where he can't even move. Some people are like that. They will just stand there like this, and they are inside. They're just, it's if you could see the aroma of them, they are just worshiping in their own way. So you have a worship leader that doesn't move too much or is not jumping up and down. You don't know what's going on inside that heart. You don't know what God is doing. He's taking them on a journey. If you're a worship leader, you are on a journey. And it is a journey. I was just saying to someone, where when we're going forth and we're taking the songs, we are singers that are going forth, like in ancient Israel. The singers went first, you know. They didn't have the spears, they didn't have the swords or anything like that. They had their mouth declaring who already won the battle. So that's what we're doing, pointing to who has already won the battle. That's our armor, that's our arsenal. The range, oh, we're talking about the range. It's taking it, breaking it down even more. The range that you sing in, you have some ladies that sing really deep, and you have some men that sing really high. How are you supposed to know that when you're worship leading? But it is something when you choose a song to be considerate about brothers who sing with the men's voice and women who sing with a women's voice. You don't want the song too high where it's, or too low where the men can't even get it. So mid-range, as to the speaking voice, I would recommend in the speaking voice of where that is. And most times, if you're a musical and you have some theory, and I would encourage you to take lessons, come up higher. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell them, come up higher? Just turn to your neighbor and say, come up higher. Come up higher. That's it. Come up higher. We have to know what we're doing as worship leaders. We have to know what we're doing. Take some theory, okay? Take some theory. Where you're singing, in the keys that we're singing, if it's in C, if it's in D, and know what it sounds like. Just tell your guitar player, if you don't play the guitar, can you strum for me a C? Broom. Okay, I don't sing in that key. Okay, you sing. Can you sing C? Broom. That's what it takes. It's the nuts and bolts of taking it down. Okay, so now let's talk about live versus recorded music, okay? All mediums can work effectively in the worship flow. All. Just because you're a YouTube church doesn't mean that your worship is less. All worship mediums can be effective. How to go from one song to the next effectively and smoothly? It's the worship leader who is following the lead of his or her savior as to what is happening, where you're going. For instance, if we're singing here as in heaven, and then we're going to sing Reckless Love, after the video is finished with here as in heaven, while the audio person is going to the next, or that the slide is coming up or whatever, start talking about the next song. Say the lyrics of the next song. It's as simple as, let me get the music. Bless his heart, bless his heart. Everything's gonna be okay in Jesus' name. Okay, I lost my music, but oh, here we go. All right, so I have this song, No One But You. The video is playing, and it comes to, I'll sing of your love, I can't get enough. Jesus, it's you. And then there's a silence. We're going to Reckless Love. Oh, the overwhelming, you could start saying it. Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. We love you, Lord. We challenge ourselves today. We want to know your reckless love. And then the video starts. Keeping the people engaged and where we are. And then you could say things like this, not that you're watching people, but you are giving God space or giving him, inviting him to do what he wants to do. So we're encouraging people to keep their minds focused on what we're doing. So it's, let's keep our hearts focused on our Lord. Has he given you a blessing today? Has he delivered you from something today? Let's keep our thoughts in captivity under the submission of Christ. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And then you go. And hearts will go. So you, if the worship leader is focused on the song and where we're going, then the people will follow. And you keep beckoning them. You keep inviting them. Invite, invite, invite. Live music, preparation, even with the recorded music, practice. Worship leaders, practice. It's a weekly thing. It's not a monthly thing. It's a weekly thing. Teams, even if it's a two-person team, a guitar player and a singer, practice. We have to practice our songs. We have to practice in the right key. Make sure that we're comfortable with that key. How many times you're going to do it. If you're going to do Song of the Lord like I did, practice the Song of the Lord. Practice it. And when it's time, when the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes and wants to be with you and to sit in the praises of your song, then you're not going to be surprised by it. You'll be able to flow with what he wants to do. I lost my questions. Oh, there it is. Okay. So that's what we look for in the content of a worship song. Now, as far as practice is concerned, I'll let you know what we do in Miramar, GCI Miramar. We have a team. We have five singers, including myself. We have a guitar player, a bass player, and we have a drummer who has gone off to college, our son. So now we have, where I have the keyboard and the drum machine is in the keyboard. We practice every week. Three times a month. The first week of the month is a break where they do their own practice and worship on that day. And the other three, we come together and we practice the songs. We do vocal exercises. We pray. We talk about intercessory prayer, who needs prayer, and any prayer requests. And then we go into practicing the songs. So that is something that we do week to week. And then we also hold each other accountable. It is a struggle that we have to get there on time or early, because our congregation, where we have to set up and take down every week, it is a tiring thing, but we have mastered where we can set up full band sound system in 30 minutes. How about that? Praise God. That was God. We can do that. But sometimes, you know, some of us, we got challenges with the time. And if the speakers don't get there on time, but you know what? What we're learning is grace. We're learning grace. And so we shift the time so everybody can get there. But we practice every week so that we can provide the music for our worship service. Doesn't matter if it's one of us or if it's two of us, you've got to practice. Practice. I will say just a little bit about appearance, because as a worship leader, what you have on, you got to do something. What you got on. Okay? And this is why I say this, because we are human and we are on earth still. Okay? If I come up here as a woman and I am dressed fight, I won't say tight, fight. I mean just everything tight. The men in the room are going to have a challenge. Distraction from what I'm trying to do. If I am a gentleman and my button is all the way down here, or if my pants are creased where I did not press my pants, appearance. Be before the Lord in excellence. Look your part. You are a child of God in excellence. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? Our worship stand, so how we are, it should be inviting, energetic, and welcoming. Okay, so let's look at worship songs and transitions. What is worship flow? I think Pastor Anthony went through it very, very eloquently. And we have a worship flow where we have a template. And that template is very, very, we can follow that where the announcements, the welcoming, we have our opening prayer, and we have the worship songs, and then after that is offering, we have a scripture reading, the sermon, and then we have the final song and a benediction. That is our worship flow, our worship order, and everything should be done decently and in order, as Paul says. We want it to be done that way. Now, when we're talking about how many songs do you choose for the worship service? How much time do you have allotted for your worship service? How much time do you have? Hour and a half? 2 hours? 45 minutes? It depends on the time that you have for your worship service. We have enough time for 4 songs in the beginning, and then we close with a song at the end. And I like to keep the music going. Our particular congregation, we like to keep the music going, even underneath the scripture reading and a part of the introduction of the sermon. Pastor Charles says that when I play in his introduction, it's like the presence of the Lord is just supporting. It's just there carrying the introduction, and then boom, you got the message. So he really, really finds that support very encouraging and very helpful for me to play under. If you can do that in your service, that is a wonderful thing. If you can't, it doesn't mean that your sermon is going to be any less. It just means it's just different. It's just different. So when we're talking about how many songs to do, it depends on your service. Now, let me say this. There's a way that you can carry a song for a long time and nobody would feel it. And this is how you do it. You focus on Christ and you focus on experiences. And you break the song down to where the song is carrying a person through the presence of God and awareness. We could be singing, "No one knows." I'll sing of your love, I can't get enough, no one but you. And you just keep going, and then you pull on the experiences, and that song will keep going and going and going. Next thing you know, your worship, your session has come to a close. So it doesn't mean you have to have 5 songs to do 20 minutes, that each song is 3 minutes. You don't have to do that. But we want to be a blended service, so we're going to use a couple of songs in that transition time. So how do I transition between songs? We already talked about that, of drawing on the Lord and focusing your congregation on who Christ is, what he has done, garrison our thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity under the submission of Christ. In a worship service, you could be thinking about your insurance. You could be thinking, did I turn the stove off? Or I need to go to the bathroom because, you know, they need to hurry up sing because I don't want to miss it, but I got to go to the bathroom. It's so many things that you could be thinking about as human beings, and we have this capacity to be thinking about things. But we, as worship leaders and as worship participants, we want to keep the thoughts focused on Christ. So how do we effectively incorporate scripture reading and prayer during worship session? I feel like I'm saying the thing over and over again. But it's through prayers and using scriptures in between, or using the lyrics of the next song. That's something that I do. Even in prayer, sometimes if I really don't know what to say to the Lord because I'm just out here somewhere, then I'll start thinking about the lyrics of the song, and I start praying the lyrics of the song to the Father. I would just start to say it. So we can use the scripture reading in between the songs. We can use the lyrics of the song. Now, let's talk about prayer during the worship service, okay? When we pray, we are to focus on who God is. Amen? Sometimes when we pray as worship leaders, we can get off on a tangent as to what the people need to be doing. And Father God, We just need to bless you. We don't need to. And I just want to say that we just need to. And we just need to. And we just need to. And we need to focus on you, God. And we need to. No. Father God, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that we ought to, we just need to look at our brothers and sisters and we need to see. Prayer time during a worship service, especially during the song service. God, you are Almighty God. We bless your name. You are here. We acknowledge your presence, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are a faithful God. You are the God who ministers to our soul. Come and rest in this praise. Father, you are the one who we respect and we honor in this room. We are aware of your presence. We thank you, God. We thank you. We adore you. We blow kisses to you, for you are our God and our King. We love you. Focusing on God. God, we need you. We need healing. We need your presence, O Lord. Beckoning him at the mercy seat of God. Having a thought that you are in a throne room. He is here and he is welcoming you and you are there. God, I love you. I love the way that you are. I love the way that you look at us. I love that you have saved us. Focusing on God. That is how I've experienced God in so many ways during the worship session. And when you begin to come out of yourself. I can't say it any other way. Come out of yourself and acknowledge God's presence. It's like the apparatus, what do you call it again? Wingsuit. It's like being in a wingsuit. The focus of the prayer is to acknowledge the presence of God. That is the focus of our prayer during the worship session. When we have intercessory prayer, key, intercessory. Meaning, we're talking about certain things. Intercessory prayer during the worship session. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Fill this room. Do what you want to do. Where do you pray during the service? Wherever you have it allotted. Intercessory prayer is already in there. You have scripture reading, and then you have a time for prayer. But we're talking about during the music time. That's what I want to focus on. Because sometimes the music is going and then the praise and worship leader wants to pray and they go off here somewhere. And it's like, wait, weren't we just praising God? Now we're talking about politics? Stay right here. This is your lane. Stay in your lane. Your lane is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Yes. Praise his name. So that's where we are. I forgot what time we're supposed to go. All right. So we have almost 3:15. Okay, so now let me talk to you a little bit about declaring, acknowledging, praising, adoration, worship, confession. Okay? Praise and worship leaders and pastors alike. Declaring who God is gives the congregation the invitation to call who he is so that the hope venue, when we consider what it is a declaration of his promises. So we're declaring who God is. Declare that he is Father, that he's Son, Holy Spirit, and Healer. These are the things that's in our mouth when we're worshiping, when we're leading in worship. He is provider, protector, redeemer, lover of our souls, giver of wisdom and understanding. He is the one who guides our path. And the word he gave me for this year, 2020, is, Lord has brought me to a spacious place where my ankles don't turn. I'm not going to roll my ankle in 2020, spiritually speaking. And I share that with you, my brothers and sisters in GCI. God has brought us to a spacious place where our ankles don't turn. We follow the lead of Christ, and he's given us all this room in grace, and we're following him. Acknowledge the presence of the Lord, the miraculous presence of the Lord, the praiseworthy presence of the Lord. Heaven on earth, As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. The angels are praising, and so are we. We are giving thanksgiving in everything that we're doing. We're praising him for blessings, strengthening ourselves through our trials, and experiencing the answers to our prayers in worship. We're experiencing the answers to our prayers in worship. Why? Because we're declaring that we have hope in God. So when we leave our congregation, when they leave, they have hope. God said, because let me tell you what God said, and they're going to remember the praise and worship, and they're going to remember what the worship song said, because God said. Adoration, when we express love and we're gratitude for his mercy. I want to tell you something. When God breaks you and he takes you to a place where all you could do is breathe, all you could do is just take oxygen in and blow it out. When you come out of that, all you want to do is love on the Lord. That's all you want to do. He breaks you to the point where he shows you what your soul really needs. I thought that in 2012, I was about to lose my mind because I was burning the candle at two ends. And God took me through a process as worship leader, as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, to know that God is your source. Mommy, you always used to tell me, God is your source, Keisha. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with God. You all ever seen a man in love with a woman? I mean, he can't think straight. It's all he's thinking about is that woman. Fall in love with God like God has fallen in love with us. Turn your affections to God and watch and see what happens. And what happened to me is that he broke me down, and took me through an emotional roller coaster journey where he had to clean my wounds and clean my soul so that in the end it came out adoration. What you see here is coming out of the breaking. And the breaking released a whole lot of things. I wrote a book. I did an album. I'm in my right mind. He also gave me a miracle. 3 years ago, January 27th, I had a surgery, found out that I was carrying leiomyosarcoma, cancer. Had 2 weeks. If I hadn't done anything, I would have been dead in 4 months. But he gave me a miracle and said, not yet. Not yet. Praise God. To the glory of God. So that I could be standing here to talk to you about worship and being a worship leader. Worship, let's join the angels. They're doing their job. And their job doesn't have any expiration. Because you know what? When we transform to those bodies that Christ promised that we would have, they're still going to be doing their job. And then we get to really see what they've been doing. And then revel in it of what we are going to be partaking in. Praise God. Stamp on the devil's head like Jesus did. Make it sure. The devil is under our feet. And where we're going, he has no place. And so as we practice what is going on in heaven, we're going before him, worshiping him. Confession. We're finite beings. We're just here today and gone tomorrow. Confession, nothing without God, how much we need God, plead the blood of Jesus, have mercy. And let me bring your attention to this. Confession is not a time to air, worship leaders, your personal business. Okay? It is a time to focus on the healing of God. The redemption of God. That's why I talked about being redeemed. But that time that we have as worship leaders, it is not even a time to preach about personal gripes in the very name of Jesus. Because we can, in the very name of Jesus, preach our gripes in the worship service. So it becomes about us. So I want to encourage us as we're going, the prayers that we sing, the prayers that we say, and even the groans that we do, and the Holy Spirit takes over. Don't be afraid of the groans, my brothers and sisters. When the music drops, meaning there's no music and there's no sound, and you hear somebody call out and you hear somebody cry, don't be afraid. Let them cry. Let us groan before the Lord. Let us go before him broken, because he's drawing near. The glory of the Lord fill the place. Hallelujah. So that is the making of a worship leader. And if anybody has any questions, or we can talk about some things, is there anything that comes to mind that I have a question about it? Let's talk about it since we have the time.
This is a question that deals with song selection. Mm-hmm. And it came out of a few weeks ago. I was on my YouTube library and listening to songs, looking at things, songs that would be worthy and worshipful for services. And I saw a plethora of sermons on a certain subject. Mm-hmm. And basically telling real Christians not to sing or use certain songs.
Okay.
I did talk to pastor 2 days later, and we discussed it, and we didn't find an issue. But the very next day, which was Sunday, one of the members came up to me and said, my son's pastor had a sermon on this subject telling us to not use these songs. Mm-hmm. I guess the subject is, and the premise that these different churches in their sermons were giving, is that you should not sing songs from Hillsong or Elevation Music. Mm-hmm. And the premise was the songs are okay, but the church's theology is false. And if you sing those songs, you're telling your congregation that those churches are okay, and their theology is okay, even though the songs are worshipful. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue is, if you sing those songs and you download them from CCLI, mm-hmm. you're giving royalty money to finance those churches. So for me, I guess it wasn't an issue, because I have a undergraduate degree with a major in theology from a institution of higher learning from the state of Texas. And I think many of you might guess what that institution was. And a lot of what I learned is not what I believe now. So it's not an issue for me, but I just wanted to make sure of how we as a denomination looks at that. To me, it was funny, because some of the churches that were actually stating this mm-hmm. have theology that I feel is not based on Christ. And it's false theology. So again, I just wanted to bring it up and just hear what everyone thought of that.
Well, I went through that in a way as well, where I was personally strongly admonished not to sing certain songs because, you know, Hillsong or whatever, Bethel, they of a certain way. And I wrestle with that. To be transparent, I wrestle with it. I even stopped singing certain songs because I was like, okay, God, what is this? You know, I want to worship you, and these songs are beautiful. You know, then what they're saying, what the songs are saying, you have to take it back to, are they scripturally sound? Take it back through the sieve. We have a book. We have a plan. We have God's promises and we have the truth. Does it align with the truth? And so the story kind of rings in my head of when the disciples came and said, Jesus, 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 they're casting out demons in your name. Don't bother them. They're not against us. They're doing the work. So our theology was kind of crazy. You know, and we were singing hymns kind of crazy. But God was working. And God was, it isn't as if God just started working since we moved into grace and Trinitarian theology. Uh-oh. God was working then fully, and he's working fully now. And so we don't have it all together right now either, you know. So I say that to say this, worship, the songs that are being written in their heart, when it comes from a worshiper's heart or worship team's heart, that is in their understanding where they are, take the song and take it to the Word of God. If it lines up in context spiritually, that is a song that God has given them. Even in their bad theology, he's given it to them. So we can take it, and if persons have a problem with it, then that's when we take them aside and we talk to them and give them the assurance. Now, if it's really offensive and you got your whole congregation is bent out of sorts, then you know what? Don't sing the song. Find another song. Find another group. Okay? Anybody else? I'll wait. We have until about 4 o'clock, so we have time to talk about things. Yes, over here. We have until 4 o'clock, so we can talk. Let's talk. It's time to talk. Because when you get back, it's not going to be any time.
I mentioned at our table that, you know, because I lead worship just once a month in my church, and I enjoy it, but I'm not the worship leader. But when I'm listening, that's another thing too, is that I want my worship leaders to be listening. I had a young lady on staff at summer camp. She told me one year she wanted to be on worship staff next year. She said, I want to be a worship leader. And later it just dawned on me. I said, do you have iHeart on your phone or Spotify or anything? Can I just see that? She didn't have any worship channels favorited. I said, you need to have 3 or 4 different worship stations that you're listening to. Yeah. You need to be listening to that, yeah, to worship music recreationally, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm learning a song, I want to see the live version. And I know they're not going to film the version where everybody's falling asleep and yawning, right? They're not going to put that one on YouTube. But I want to look at the people worshiping. What is it doing to them, that song? Mm-hmm. You know, because you can watch over and over again. And you know, I split my screen in my mind into quadrants because, you know, you're distracted so easily, or at least I am. Mm-hmm. And so all right, quadrant one, I'm going to watch this whole video, and I'm only going to focus. Sometimes I'll put paper over the screen so I can only see those people, so I don't miss anybody.
Yeah.
And I'll watch that song over and over again. See, what's it doing to those people?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's their reaction to it?
Yeah. That's good. Marty in the back.
If we wanted to use a group of songs from YouTube where we have, you know, they're all covered by CCLI and all, is there a way to take those 3 or 4 songs, put them on a disc or a thumb drive or something else so that you don't have to do any switching? See, I haven't subscribed to YouTube. I don't want to get any more, you know, unnecessary emails, but if you subscribe to YouTube, will it allow you to download and save and put them all together in a sequence? Can you do that?
You can make a playlist. You can make a playlist where you can download them. If you, you're on YouTube and you... Now, YouTube has all of those mediums for, you know, online radio or online videos. They have subscriptions as well. YouTube does have a premium where you can download the videos, and it's for, I don't know, maybe $3.99 a month or $6.99 a month, something like that, where you can download the videos, save it into a playlist, and it's, I think it's pretty straightforward as to how to make a playlist. You can also Google it, how to make a YouTube playlist. And then all you do is you press play, and it will go from one video to the next without a break.